Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It may be a paradox, but one of the best ways to get money to release its hold on us is to release some of that money to others. Being generous can help kill the virus called greed. Today, a final look at overcoming the trap of being in debt. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Till Debt Do Us Part.
Have you and I prayed that God would make us content so that we would live within our income rather than beyond it? Number 7, generosity. Generosity. Should people give even out of poverty? I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but in a sense, it depends on how much you really do love God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians regarding the Macedonians, it says they gave out of their extreme poverty. Wow. No wonder they received a special blessing. You know, the Bible says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will reap generously. Now, you know that we are opposed to what is known as the name it, claim it, money, wealth theology. But the Bible does, in 2 Corinthians, connect very clearly generosity with God's blessing. For example, it says that if you are generous, you will reap a harvest of righteousness. That's why I think proportionate giving is important, even in the midst of poverty, to give something to God to remind us that all of it is His, and we are giving Him the opportunity to test Him and to indeed receive a blessing. It's not dollar for dollar. It's not I give God $10 and He'll give me $100 back. No. But God is generous and blesses those who are generous with that which means most to us, means a great deal to us, namely the whole issue of money. And so I invite you to be generous. Don't say to yourself, well, you know, we're going to pay all of these bills, and then if we happen to have something left over. No, give something to God first. And then as He prospers you, do as our experience has been in our home, where we increase the amount of percentage over and over again as we experience God's blessing. Let us be a generous people. And you know, there are those in our congregation who are struggling today. They don't have a job. They can't pay their bills. We do all that we possibly can to help them through the fellowship fund. But there are also those needs that we hear about that we can contribute to, and do so with a sense of release and joy. Where does all of this lead us? I'd like to give you some suggestions going forward. First of all, let money unite your family and not divide it. Let money unite your family and not divide it. That is so very, very critical. Because you see, what happens during the time of financial need, you discover that people begin to use it as a point of attack between the wife and the husband. It's one of those hot button issues. One of the things that you have to do is to talk, and if you made a mistake and made a foolish investment, there's no use trying to put the best face on it and say, well, you know, I meant well. Yeah, we all mean well. What you have to do is humble yourself and admit to it and be reconciled at that point and be dead honest in terms of your relationship. How critical that is. Honesty. And don't get into bed and assume the fetal position and put the blanket over your head. This is an opportunity. Today we have opportunities we never had before. When Rebecca and I were first married, there weren't all of these organizations and websites that help people who were in financial need and who gave them instruction as to what are the plans to get out of debt and how can you restructure and how can you save money. The websites are filled and the books are filled now with good advice, and you can go to financial advisors who are going to help you. But I plead with you, don't get divorced over the money issue. Come to agreement. Come to an understanding. Lay all the cards on the table and seek reconciliation. The other thing that is very important is the commitment of all that you have to God. Now, when I began this message on point number one, it all begins to God, probably you said to yourself, yeah, we've heard all that before. But have you ever transferred what you own to God? I was reading a book this week on money, a Christian book, in which it had a quit claim page in which you signed off on all that you owned. And you put that in there. All my investments, all my property, all this, whatever I have, my car, I sign it to God. Do that. Because you see, even in the midst of your need, in the midst of mistakes, God is there to help us. He doesn't abandon us simply because we say, well, you know, you're the one that got into debt, and so, you know, you can figure this out on your own. God is available to those who give themselves to Him. Finally, remember the fact that we should be generous because God has been generous. Let me ask you a question. How much do you owe God? The truth is, we all owe God obedience to the Ten Commandments. For example, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet his possessions. You and I are guilty of coveting. That is sin. And we owed God righteousness on that part. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And we can go through all of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We owe that all to God. We are indebted to Him hugely. But you know what we have to do? Is to rejoice that Jesus paid our debt. Isn't that good news? Harry Ironside, who was the pastor here for many years back in the 40s, tells a story that I shall retell. During the days of Nicholas I, there was a soldier who was promoted because he was the son of Nicholas's friend. And this young soldier had the responsibility of divvying up the money for the soldiers. In those days, you didn't have it on the internet. You couldn't use it, electronic banking. So all the soldiers had to be given money. But the young man fell into the sin of gambling and gambled away the money that belonged to the soldiers. And according to the story, he totaled it all up, saw what the total was, decided that at midnight he'd commit suicide because he knew he was going to be outed and embarrassed. And he totaled it up and wrote under the total, a great debt, who can pay? Well, as the story goes, he fell asleep, and Nicholas himself came by the barracks that night, recognized the young man as the son of one of his favorite friends, and was going to have him arrested, but noticed that there was the ledger. And Nicholas saw that the young man was sleeping and took out his pen and wrote one word under the caption, great debt, who can pay? And then he turned away and left. When the young man woke up, he saw the ledger, and there under those words was one word, Nicholas. He checked to see if this was an authentic signature by going to the safe to see if it matched, and he recognized it was. And the very next day, someone came from the palace to bring the money that this young man had squandered. Great debt, who can pay? Jesus came to pay what you and I can't. And when he said, Tetelestai, paid in full, he met our debt. He paid for us that we can be redeemed. And even as we take the cup and we say, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, this bread represents my body, that was the payment that was made because of our sin. How can we help but being a generous people? And if you've never received Christ as Savior and received that gift of payment, acknowledge your indebtedness and believe on Him right now. And will you join me as we pray? Our Father, we want to thank you today for your grace that has been given to us in Jesus our Lord. Thank you that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Help us, O Lord God, we pray. May we be in a position of great joy, and help all, Father, who are struggling with issues of debt to honestly face it, and that know that you are there to help them see the way out. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, today I wish that you could see into my heart, because I am so filled with gratitude for this opportunity to come into your home, to your place of business, however you might be listening to this broadcast. It's so wonderful for us to be able to communicate truth to you. And even as I ended this message with an evangelistic appeal, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as a result of our ministry, we'd love to know about that. If you go to moodymedia.org, you can connect with us, and in this way tell us that the broadcast has been a blessing to you, because we exist to help you in your Christian walk. Now, the message that you have heard is part of a series entitled Fighting for Your Family. I had the opportunity of sharing this information here at the Moody Church, and certainly when it comes to the topic of money, you and I know that many marriages have split over the whole issue of finances. Right now, I'm thinking of a couple, for example, where he is very extravagant. He has wasted a lot of money. The couple is greatly in debt. Their house is in foreclosure. Wouldn't have to be, but because of his spending habits, that's how it came about. And this wife has contacted us to say, I can no longer live in this circumstance. Let me unburden my heart by saying it is God's will for you to be able to seek his face even regarding how your money is spent. That's why I preach these messages. I want us to see transformation in our marriages, biblical transformation. And even as you have an opportunity to share these concepts with others, God is able to enable you to help others as we walk along the trail of life. Stay tuned now for some very important information.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We've heard Till Debt Do Us Part, the fifth of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss Children, God's Special Gift. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.